Good morning. Welcome to all this morning. Interesting things happened during the weeks. This morning, I woke up, got here just a touch late, and then turned on my computer to find out that all my notes and everything were gone. That usually doesn't happen, and so as I step up here to this morning, I told, when we were back praying before the service, I told those who were back there praying with us that, you know what, it's not that big a deal. We are dealing this morning with a text that is one of my absolute favorites within all of the Scripture. We're dealing in a place where Paul comes across and really tells us about where we stand in light of the law, what causes us to break the law, and who in the end will save us. When he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's really what it comes down to. And so we are going to go through chapter 7 of the book of Romans and know that God has shown us mercy even in our sinful state. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name, again from Romans chapter 7 through the end of the chapter. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she marry another to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But her husband is dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motion of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known the lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking the occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. The commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking the occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good, was that then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become sin exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do not allow, or I do, I allow not, for what I would that I do not, but what I hate that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then is the more that I should do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, But how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Amen. Please be seated. Now, Paul, in chapter 6, we have to go back just a little bit to understand. He comes down in verse 20 of chapter 6 and says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness, but the fruit you were getting at the time, you are now ashamed of these things." And he comes, "But now you have become slaves of God." And so now this is where Paul is setting up this whole thing to make you understand exactly who you were. And now he comes to explain now how the law is and works within us and within Christianity for those who believe. And so he says, "Do you not know, brothers, that I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding only on a person only as long as he lives?" And so he's setting this whole thing up. Do you not understand, you people who know the law? And basically he's writing to Jews within Rome in the synagogues and saying, don't you understand this, that the law no longer holds you once death has happened? And so he says, and he brings out this very earthly example of this. He says, For a married woman is bound by the law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released of the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while the husband is alive. But when her husband dies, she is freed from the law. If she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. And so he really comes up, and this is not a treatise on marriage. This is a treatise on having to understand exactly what's going on here. I serve in a church, and unfortunately I serve a lot of widows. I know who you are. But you are no longer bound to your husbands or your wives after they are gone. You are set free from that. You no longer have to worry about the stigma that would lie. You are free to marry again. Now some won't, and I have no problem with that. But the whole point of this is to help us to understand that there's something greater that happens with Christ. Because he goes on to set this down. He says, "Likewise, my brothers, you have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." You see, one of the big things that we have to understand that in Christ we are dead. That what happens within this flesh and in this body is nothing. Because this now is not our true identity. Our true identity is hid in the person of Jesus Christ. We died and were raised with him. The problem is we always want to focus on what this flesh does. And we'll see later on as Paul goes through it, he had the same exact problem. And he's very honest about the problem. But he goes on to say that in this death, that we now will bear fruit to God. We are now instructed, we are brought forth to actually do the work of God here on earth. Because we now partake of him. We are now part of Him. So He doesn't give us license to go do whatever we want. It gives us license to go forth and to serve Him. And then He goes on to really talk about what happens when the law was introduced. He says, "For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death." And you see, this is one of those things. Because we have a hard time. And I've watched this with children. Do not touch that. What is the first thing that they want to do? Touch that. The law brings that upon us. The whole forbidden fruit thing. I want that which I'm not supposed to have. Now what is that? Does that make the law bad? No, there's nothing wrong with the law. He says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandments, produced all kinds of covetousness in me." And this is the whole idea of this. God knew who we were as human beings. He knew from the moment that He gave the law what was going to happen. And as a matter of fact, Moses no sooner had got the law, he went down from the mountain, gave the law, went back up the mountain, and the Israelites were breaking the commands. Because that's who we are in the flesh. And the whole history of the Jews is to show that God is still faithful to a people who will not and would not obey His law. Oh, He would punish them. And He would bring them to exile. But then He would restore them. And they would go on for a while. And then they would continue to break His commandments. And He would bring them back into exile. And He would restore them. And this is the pattern that happens within the Old Testament when you look at the history of the Israelites. But then what you find out is He had also promised something much greater, something that was much better than the law. And so He says this, and this is Paul now talking in verse 9. He says, "I once lived apart from the law, but when the law came, sin came alive and I died." You see, what Paul is pointing out here is that the law brings sin to life within us. Sin is always there. It's within our members. We cannot be separated from it. It is within our flesh. And the very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me, he says. And this is really the point. I can sit up here all day long and tell you what you should and you should not do. And I can proclaim the law. And you know what it'll bring? Death. It will bring death to each and every one of us. Because that's, in essence, what the law does to sinful human beings. And he says this, "For sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me." And so then we start to think, well, this law can't be very good then. We better get rid of it all. So, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring me to death? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through that which is good, in order that the sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. Someone once asked me, well, you know, what do the commandments do? The commandments produce sin. Whether we like to admit it or not, that is truth. In sinful human beings, the law produces sinfulness. And that's not just me saying that, that's Paul. But the reason that God did this is so that we would understand that sin is utter. It is nasty. It is something that is totally against God. It is something that is beyond measure, in opposition to God. And so, it brings out our death. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. And see, this is the thing that we have to come to grips with, is that our flesh is dead. That our new life resides within the inner being, is hidden in Christ, that there is something good within us, because that is the reason that God sent His Son to redeem this race. There is something within us that is perfect and holy, but it is only there by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then Paul comes to my favorite passage in Scripture, because I used to always figure, how am I going to become more holy? How is this going to be that I can be better? Now we're talking about a man who most of us understand to change the face of the world. He went out and planted churches in places that churches didn't belong. He went out and brought people to repentance by preaching to them the gospel of Jesus Christ in places where people were unlovable. And this is what he says, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but that I do the very thing that I hate." Paul is in the midst of this struggle. And during the writing of this letter, he is right there with us. We sometimes wonder, well, how am I going to become better? I find I conquer one thing within my life, sinful thing in my life, and another thing just bears its ugly head. And this is what Paul comes down to, and he says, "Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me." And so he comes down and he says, you know, the law points out this sin that's dwelling in me, helping me to come to this point that I know I can know I cannot please God, because I can't do anything. Everything I do is tainted by this flesh and is sinful. And he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but I do not have the ability to carry it out." Now think about that for a second. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the man who went forth and proclaimed the gospel in front of Caesar. This is the man who changed and brought the gospel to the Gentile nations. And he's there saying, "For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." And basically what Paul is saying there, in my flesh, I do not have the ability to do these things. I do not have the ability to follow the law. I do not have the ability to do what is right. And he says, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Now Paul is very honest at this point. And see, I think this is part of the problem with Christianity. We don't really want to be honest. We don't want to sit back and talk to each other that, hey, I have a weakness. In Christianity, we a lot of times want to be like the Pharisees. We want to be whitewashed tombs so everybody thinks that we're good and nice and holy. Instead of actually being honest with ourselves and with one another and go, hey, I really struggle in this area. Hey, can you pray for me and help me? And then giving grace for one another that we would help each other carry these things through because we all face the same battle. We may not face the individual particular sins, but we all have our own skeletons in our closets that we're dealing with and we're facing and struggling with. And this is the thing that I think we really need to start dealing with as Christians. That we are sinners. That in this flesh, we sin. But also to look upon each other with the same grace that God does, that we would look on each other as saved, as washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we are also that. That we would start to have some understanding for each other. Paul, an apostle, one we would sit back and we would look at and we would admire their life. And we did this during VBS this past month. Where we went through the life of Paul and the amazing things that God accomplished through him. And we would think, well, he can't struggle. He did all those miracles. He did all these wonderful things. But this is Paul writing this letter to us. That he has the same human struggles that the rest of us do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I do it who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is right, evil lies close at hand. Evil is right there, even in the midst of me doing the things I know I'm supposed to do for God. And so he says, now there's a war. I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. And so he's in this point and he's in this struggle. There's always a tension within Christians that yes, we are holy, we are recreated, we are perfect, but we also have the tension of there's this sinful man that's right there with us at all times. And we struggle in that whole thing. It's a tension that lies within us. And when we start to get to that point where we're waylaid and we go, I can't do this. I'm too sinful. We have to then look at verse 24, where Paul brings this all to conclusion. He says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, if we continue and we try to do this on our own, we will utterly fail. But when we look to the cross and the finished work of Jesus Christ upon that cross and His glorious resurrection, we can know that we are victorious even over the sin that dwells within us. This is one of the greatest promises within the Scripture. And the reason that I love this chapter of Romans is because it puts the Apostle Paul in the same boat I'm in. That I struggle with things. And yet, God has seen to it that He sent His Son to die for us. This is what this whole chapter is about. The law works death in me, but Jesus Christ brings us to life. And so I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but in my flesh I serve the law of sin. Paul says there's never going to be the end of this. The end will come when either Jesus Christ comes home or we go home to Him. But you know what? Be assured, even as you struggle in sin at times, that Christ has died for you and that you have a new life in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Father, for the law which points us to our utter sinfulness and our absolute and total need for You. And we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to shed His blood for our sins. And Father, we thank You also that You have raised Him to new life and that You have promised to raise us in that same new life. That in Him, Father, we have new life. Help us now, Father, and work in us by the power of Your Spirit and through Your Word to rely on that promise and to look to Him each and every day. And to focus on Him so that, Father, we can go forth from here and bring the message of the gospel to all the people that we come in contact with. Father, thank You for this reassurance that even those who we would call past saints, who have written books within the Bible, had this same struggle. That, Father, we are not alone in our struggle with sin. That, Father, we all face it. Help us have grace for one another, that we can share our burdens, that we can reassure each other of our forgiveness of sins. That, Father, when we come forward and repent, that, Father, people would show us grace as You have shown us grace. We thank You, Father, for this great promise in Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.